Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of our service from last Sunday's worship. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor at the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. You're always welcome at our Sunday services. Worship at Salem is 8:30. Sunday school in California is at 9:30 with donuts and juice available in the gym, followed by worship at 10:30. We have a nursery for your little ones. We would be privileged to have you attend our Sunday service as we worship together as one family serving Christ. This Sunday, we continue our sermon series, Word to the Wise, that is looking at the book of Proverbs. This morning, we will look at choosing contentment in Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9. We encourage everyone to read through the book of Proverbs during the month of May. There are 31 chapters in Proverbs, one for each day of the month. May God bless you with His goodness and mercy this coming week. We thank you for listening.
If you'll please stand for our call to worship this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The risen Christ says, peace be with you.
We are filled with joy because He lives. Hallelujah.
The risen Christ says, reach out, touch, and believe.
Our Lord and our God. Hallelujah.
Our first hymn this morning is hymn number 215, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the light of your presence and love has filled all of creation with new life and new hope. Touch each of us as we need and fill us with that truth so that our lives will shine forth with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. O Lord, open our lips,
and our mouths shall show forth your praise.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, will now and ever shall be. Amen, amen.
Our special music this morning is Down to the River, played by our bell choir, directed by Becky Snyder.
Thank you.
Our first two scripture lessons are read by Alan Chambers. It's followed by the gospel lesson and his sermon, Word to the Wise, The Power of Words, by our pastor, Russell Cobb.
Would you please join me in a prayer for illumination? Almighty and everlasting God, who in the mystery of Easter established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that we all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I will be reading the scripture lessons this morning from the New Revised Standard Version. The first lesson comes from Proverbs chapter 18, verses 20 and 21. From the fruit of the mouth, one's stomach is satisfied. The yield of the lips brings satisfaction. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes from the letter of James, chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. Here ends the second lesson.
Our gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. It says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Today we're starting a new sermon series out of the book of Proverbs, and I encourage you, starting in May, to read a chapter of Proverbs every day. There's 31 days in the month of May. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and it is a great book to read. It almost overwhelms you, really, because as you read one verse and you go to the next one, it jumps from subject to subject, but just really nuggets of wisdom that you say, boy, if I could just incorporate that, let me remember that. And so that's why I try to read Proverbs at least once a year to remind me of some of the verses that are in there. But our new sermon series is going to be Word to the Wise, and we're going to try to pull out nuggets of wisdom from the book of Proverbs. And this Sunday, we're going to be talking about the power of words. We've all heard the childhood saying, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And we know from our experience that that isn't true. That was someone that said that, just they wanted to make sure that the person had hurt them wouldn't know that they had been hurt themselves. And so we have this saying that we go through, but we know that words hurt. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. It says, those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And we've all experienced those words before of someone that said something to us that pierces to our heart. And then Proverbs 15, verse 28, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Proverbs talks more about our speech, more about our words, more about what we say than any other subject in the book of Proverbs. More about money, more about relationships, more about anything. It talks about what we say and the importance of that. We read just a few minutes ago, James chapter 3, it compares the tongue or the mouth to a fire that can get out of control. It talks about that it's a restless evil, or it is a poison that can spread and destroy everything around it. See, words have power, and they can affect for good and they can affect for bad. Think of some of the famous speeches throughout history. Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Or I love Martin Luther King's Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech, and I love this line from it. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Man, I wish that was true today about all of us. No matter what we look like, no matter where we've come from, people judge us on who we are and not by what they see on outward appearance. And the famous line from Franklin Delano Roosevelt after the attack on Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. Winston Churchill is credited with his Battle of Britain speech that strengthened his people to fight against the Nazi army from Germany. And this is what he said. He said, "We shall defend our island. Whatever the cost may be, we shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. And we shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender." And he is credited with strengthening his people and strengthening their resolve that they would never give up, no matter what would happen with the Nazi army. And of course, the words that our country was founded on, the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's what our country was founded upon. But just as they can uplift and strengthen and encourage us, words can do lots and lots of harm. They can destroy. The book that Adolf Hitler wrote, Mein Kampf, which stands for My Struggle. And if you watch any of the history channels, it seems like every week there is something about Nazi Germany. And they show speeches of Hitler in different crowds, millions of people responding to his words out of that book. And for every word that he had in that book, they said 125 people died for every word that he wrote in that book across Europe and during World War II. Words have power. And that's what it says here in Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat their fruit. Meaning that if we love words and if we speak words, that we will either enjoy the good that it causes or will we reap the bad that it causes. Mark Twain said this about the power of words. The difference between the almost right word and the right word is a really large matter. It's the difference between the lightning bug and the lightning. There's a big difference between the two, and words do matter. And we're going to look at three areas real quickly this morning where words have the power, what the words have power to do. First of all, they have the power to build up and encourage. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. In Proverbs chapter 12, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Les Brown is a renowned motivational speaker. He came out of Miami. He was adopted at the age of 6 weeks along with his twin brother by a mother that couldn't really take care of him. So he was adopted by a single mother that provided him care and encouragement. But even with all that encouragement, he went to school, and because of his deficiencies, he was labeled from a very early age as mentally deficient. And he carried that label with him from elementary school through middle school, and he got into high school, and he had dreams of speaking and acting in plays, but because of the label that had been put upon him, he didn't think he'd ever be able to do that until he met his speech teacher, his drama teacher, Mr. Washington. And one day Mr. Washington asked him to do something. He responded, "You know, Mr. Washington, I can't do that," he said, "because I am mentally deficient. I can't mentally do that." And this is what his drama teacher said to him. He said, "Do not ever say that again. Someone's opinion of you does not have to become your reality." He says, "Those words provided me with the liberation from the label that had been given to me, the limitations that I have, and the negative things that have been internalized in me." He says, "It freed me from all those things." And he became a motivational speaker, wrote books, elected to the Ohio State Legislature. Think about the encouraging words that you've received over your life. Maybe it was a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, a coach, or a family member that saw something in you and kind of fanned the flame into something great for you that changed your life. But you know, words have the power also to discourage. A lot of us have had kids participate in sports, and I know especially with my older one, and my middle one's in here, and she can attest to this, that I was a lot more critical than I was positive at times. And a lot of times when we would come home on trips or from ball games, and it would be an endless quiz or a question or critique of her play or her sister's play, and I didn't balance that with the positive reinforcement that I needed to give to them. And I know there were scars left because of that. It took me to find out to my senior year of my youngest daughter that they didn't need to hear those things. What they needed to hear was positive things. And so by the time Amy was a senior, I've told you I'm a slow learner. So I learned the senior year of my youngest child that I made the commitment that on rides home from ball games or whatever, we would not have any more critiques of her play, whether good or bad. And I told her these three things. I'd say, I love you, I'm proud of you, and I miss watching, and I enjoy watching you play. See, that's the power of words, the encouragement that we can give to those that are around us to build them up. But part of also building up is sometimes we have to correct people. Sometimes we see them heading down the wrong path, but how do we do that? Proverbs 51 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. How do we come across to someone in a gentle, loving spirit? Where Proverbs tells us there, a gentle answer. It has to be someone that we can trust, that we can rely upon. Because Proverbs also says in Proverbs 29, whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. He's telling us right there that we need to listen to people that are around us, that care about us, that we respect and that we trust. Sometimes they have our best intentions at heart. A lot of times those things are hard to listen to. But it says the wounds of a friend can be trusted, meaning the ones that bring us critique can help us down or further down our lives to be the person that God wants us to be. But they're not always words that we want to hear, but they're necessary words. The second thing that the words have power to do is they have the power to heal. We see that Peter had made a statement in haste right at the end of Jesus' life. And he said, Jesus, wherever you go, if you know, I'm going to go with you to prison, I will die with you, no matter what it takes. And Jesus looked at him and said, before the night's over, you're not going to deny me only once, not twice, but three times. And it says in one gospel account that when Peter denied him that third time, that him and Jesus locked eyes. And then it says Peter broke down and wept terribly because he had failed Jesus at his most crucial moment. Some of us would say, that's it. You fail me once, I'm done with you. You fail me twice, three times, I don't want to have anything to do with you. But who did Jesus come back to and restore after he resurrected from the dead? He met Peter on the beach, and three times he asked him, he says, do you love me? And Peter would say, you know, I love you, Jesus, I love you. If you do, feed my sheep. He asked him a second time and a third time to help restore all three of the denials. But we all have the power to restore relationships around us. I remember my second year of working at Columbia College. I remember I was not happy with the way my boss was managing some of the people. I didn't think they were working hard enough. They were coming in late, not kind of doing what I thought they should be doing, but it wasn't my job to worry about, but I was frustrated. And so I wrote an email, and you know, kind of disrespectful to her, and I didn't feel like she was handling things right, and she was ready to get rid of me, ready to fire me, my second year at Columbia College. And our big boss saw the email, and he involved human resource with it, and knew that it could probably be a fireable offense, what I had said, but he brought us in and said, you know, I think there's something redeemable here. He says, I don't think it's time to get rid of Russ and to take him away from his job. And so he had me work through probation, had me work through human resource, and one of the last people I saw when I left Columbia College was Bruce Boyer, my boss. And I said, Bruce, I want to say thank you for giving me a second chance to see something in the relationship that was redeemable. But many times when we have relationships, we've said hurtful things. We need to learn the words to say, I'm sorry. And we need to restore those relationships because words have the power to heal. Jesus came across the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8.
And in my book, it usually takes two people to commit adultery. But they only brought the woman out in front. They were ready to stone her and do away with her. And then Jesus said, the one without sin cast the first stone. And so they all kind of, you know, get away from him. And Jesus looks at her and says, is there anybody left here to condemn you? She says, no, there isn't. He says, neither do I condemn you. But then he says, go and leave your life of sin. He didn't say, stay, keep doing what you're doing. Everything's working out for you. He says, hey, I'll be there to bail you out the next time. No, he says, hey, you need to change your life, but there's something of value here in your life, and I want to see it happen in your life. It says in Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And then it says in Proverbs 15:4, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. We need to take an honest look at the words that come out of our mouth. And are they sweet as honeycomb? Are the words that come out of our mouth soothing and are a tree of life to those around us? How do we speak to our spouses? How do our children speak to us? How do we speak to our children? And we need to take an honest look at the words that come out of our mouth. And are they encouraging or are they crushing the spirits of those around us? You know, I could bring a 2x4 with me and I could hammer in nails. And I could pull those nails out and get rid of those nails, but those nails have left a scar. And I could cover them up with putty, and you'd still see the scar that was there. That's the power of words, that we need to make sure that we evaluate them. I remember I read a book on a minister, a very famous minister, and he's been frustrated many times in a ministry, and he'll start to type a long letter, and he'll get it all ready, and then he folds it up, and he sticks it in his envelope, and he sticks it in his desk. Not to be sent. He just wanted to get the frustration out. There's an announcer on ESPN that's on several talk shows, and he has a famous statement about people that want to send out these tweets and these texts that, you know, are critical to others. And his statement is, don't press send. How many things that we could have avoided by not pressing send? And that's what he's telling us here, that words are powerful. And that we need to evaluate our speech and take an honest look and look at areas as we read through Proverbs that need to evaluate how we talk and relate to others. And then the final thing that the words have power to do, words have the power for eternal life. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11, the mouth of a righteous is a fountain of life. The words that come out of our mouth have the power to change people's life for eternity. When Jesus was with his disciples and they were all getting ready to leave in John chapter 6 after I am the bread of life, Jesus looked at him and said, do you guys want to leave too? And Peter looked at him and said, you alone have the words of eternal life. And see, we're the ambassadors for those words of eternal life. It says in Romans chapter 10 that we are the bearer of good news, that we are to bring good news. I've started reading the Gospel of Mark in the last few days. And this is the very first verse of the Gospel of Mark. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. See, we have the good news in front of us. Romans chapter 10 says that how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Are we sharing the good news of Jesus through our speech, through our actions, through our interactions with those around us? He also says earlier in chapter 10 of Romans that with our words of eternal life that we confess our faith. Romans chapter 10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess and are saved. We take our heart and we take our mind and combine it with our speech to confess that Jesus is Lord, and that leads to the words of eternal life. And then finally, our words of eternal life have the power to worship. Hebrews chapter 10, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I've heard people say, I can worship anywhere. I don't need to be in church to worship, and that's true. I've been out fishing, I've been out hunting, and I've enjoyed a beautiful sunrise. I've seen a falling star as I've been deer hunting before the sun came up, and it's beautiful, and I do worship. But one of the best aspects of worship that I think is the encouraging, the fellowshipping of one another before church and after church. I love to hear the voices of people sharing with each other about their days and encouraging ones that have lost loved ones, giving them a hug or a word of encouragement. That's what worship is for. Look at those words there, to spur and encourage people as we see the day approaching. Because life is hard. And that's what we get from worship, is those power of the words of eternal life. So what should we do with the power of words? Number one, we need to encourage those around us. We have all kinds of different modes of communication these days. FaceTime, Snapchat, all Facebook, all the different things that we can do that we can notice someone in our church, in our area of influence, that needs some words of encouragement. To notice just something small that they do, whether it's working in the kitchen or getting things ready for Sunday or someone around their house that does something nice for you. Words can encourage and build up. Also, we need to take an honest look at our speech and see if we're restoring relationships, if we're healing relationships, and then finally confess and testify our faith to those around us. In Matthew chapter 12, we read verses 33 through 37. If you read the previous three verses in 30, 31, and 32, we find out the only sin that isn't forgivable in the eyes of God. Look what it says. Whoever is not against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. It has to do with our speech. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. The words of our mouth have the power for life and death. And we read it earlier, that by our words we will be acquitted, or by our words will we be condemned, and we will have to answer on the day of judgment for every empty and careless word. That's going to be a very long day of judgment for your preacher right here to explain every careless and empty and hurtful word. There is a gym in Ashland, Missouri that I've had some really struggles with the things that came out of my mouth when my girls played basketball in that gym. I didn't like the officiating. I didn't like what was going on. There were some careless, empty, hurtful words that came out of my mouth. And I'm thankful for God for forgiveness. But we have the power to change those around us. I'm looking forward to the day when those who have claimed Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we will hear those words from our Savior that say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But if you've never claimed Him, you've never uttered those words that you believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, are the words that Thomas said when he saw Jesus for the first time after he rose from the dead, "My Lord and my God." We need to talk about those words. This morning I'm thankful for the chance to talk about the power of the words and the power of the way that we can change lives for God's grace and for God's kingdom. Our hymn this morning is hymn number 349, "Take My Life."
As our bell choir plays our closing, we thank you for listening to A Time of Hope. And again, want you to know you're always welcome to come to Sunday School and worship with us. Sunday School is at 9:30 this morning and church is at 10:30. God bless your Sunday.